today we started out with Abel, and we looked at the fact to see what the blood of Abel still says to us today. It says to us that we're going to suffer for righteousness, that God only accepts the worship of the faithful, God only accepts the worship of the righteous. Life is unjust, it's unfair. There's a lot we can learn by looking to Abel, who is a witness of this race that we're running. And this evening, we're going to do the same thing as we get over into chapter 11, this time in verse 8, and we're going to look at a man that all of us are very familiar with, and that is the old patriarch Abram or Abraham. And we're going to look at his life as it was a journey of faith. And this is going to be very important as we examine what the Bible has to say about Abraham. Obviously, in a few minutes that we're together, I couldn't possibly deal with all of the verses that address this great patriarch Abraham. Too much is said. So we're going to have to kind of narrow it down a little bit, and I want to do that by looking at verses 8 through 10 of Hebrews chapter 11. And these will serve as our text this evening, and we're going to pull some points out of that. Now, we'll look elsewhere as well. But we're going to primarily be spending our time in Hebrews 11, verses 8, 9, and 10. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going, but by faith he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city, which has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. You know, of all of those who are listed in Hebrews 11, Abraham just has to stand out as a tremendous example of faith. And you know what? As a matter of fact, I believe he stands out insofar as the writings of other writers in the New Testament. As a matter of fact, James says in James chapter 2 and verse 23 that as a result of his faith, he is a friend of God. Can you imagine God saying, "He is my friend"? That's what God said about Abraham. Paul said in Romans chapter 4 and verse 11 that he is the father of all those who believe. And so when we look at the faith of Abraham, we have to recognize that he is extolled for his faith, not only by those of us who are in this race, but also by those who were writers of the New Testament. Now, just looking at the passage that we noted in Hebrews 11, there are several things that we can see about the faith of Abraham. It just simply said in these few verses, he obeyed. That is, when God called him, he obeyed God. He was called by God. And as a result of being called by God, he went out from the Ur of the Chaldees. He dwelt in tents. He waited. He was tested. He offered up his son. And all of these things describe the faith of Abraham. And as a matter of fact, I think one of the things that we need to look at is what's said in the Old Testament about him. It said he believed in the Lord. That is, Abraham believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Genesis 15 and verse 6. You know, I think, let me kind of detour here just a little bit. You know, I think all of us, especially those of us who are Christians, it's easy for us to talk about faith in sort of an abstract way. Or maybe I should put it this way. We talk about faith in a mechanical way. We say, well, what is faith? Well, faith is the evidence of things, the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11 and verse 1. And so that sort of satisfies our curiosity about faith. Then we point out, Hebrews 11 and verse 6, that without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, when I say that we just understand the basics and the mechanics of faith, or we have sort of an abstract view of faith, it kind of goes like this. We think of the steps of salvation. And we talk about the plan of salvation, and we say, well, you know, if you want to be a Christian, here are the five steps of salvation. Now, I'm not making fun of this. I'm not ridiculing it, because this is biblical. I'm just saying sometimes we have sort of an incomplete understanding. Well, we've got to hear, And then we've got to believe. That's faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10, verse 17. And so then we believe, we repent, we confess, and we're baptized. Hence we're saved. Oh yeah, we live faithful unto death, and we'll receive the crown of life, Revelation 2 and verse 10. And so when we look at it simply from that perspective, I'm afraid that what we understand about that is faith seems to be a one-time thing. That is, okay, you know what? I heard. My heart was pricked. And I believe. And so therefore, I am a man or a woman of faith. But I got to tell you something. When you understand the faith of Abraham, you understand that faith is not just simply a rung on a ladder. It's not just simply a step that we get up on and then move away from that. The faith of Abraham was a faith that carried through his entire life. He was a man of faith. It wasn't something that he just did one time. He was a man of faith. Genesis 15 and verse 6 is quoted several times in the New Testament. And it said in reference to some other aspect of his life. For what does the Scripture say? Paul writes in Romans 4 and verse 3. Abraham believed God. And it was accounted to him for righteousness. This doesn't mean that he just had simply a one-time sort of abstract view of God. God is, so I am a man of faith. No. This is something that described his life. And being fully convinced, Paul goes on to say in chapter 4 of Romans, that what he had promised he was also able to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. So he not only believed in God, he believed the promises of God, and he trusted the promises of God. And just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. James weighs in on this, and the Scripture was fulfilled, which said Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. This covered the entirety of his life. Abraham lived the life of faith. Abraham was a man of faith, ladies and gentlemen, no matter what part of his life you're talking about. God promised him a son. Abraham believed God. And it was counted unto him for... By the way, let me also say that you know there is a difference in believing God and believing in God. There are a lot of people who believe in God, that is, they have an understanding that God is a being somewhere in the great beyond, and that may be the extent of it. Somebody may even believe, I believe in the God of the Bible. But my friend, if you're going to live by faith, you not only believe in God, you believe God. God told this old man, you're going to have a son. And you know what? Abraham believed God. And whenever God told him to do something, whenever God told him what he was expected of him, Abraham complied. Whether it was to have a son or whether it was to sacrifice that son on an altar. We'll look at that in just a moment. Abraham believed God. When God called upon him to wander, he wandered. When God called upon him to go down to Egypt, he went down to Egypt. When God called upon him to come up out, he came up out of Egypt. Whatever God told him to do, he did it. He was a man of faith. Abraham's life was a vocation of faith. It wasn't simply a one-time event. And I'm going to tell you something, my friends. Neither is our lives to be a one-time event insofar as faith is concerned. Listen to what Paul says in writing to the Galatians in chapter 3 and verse 7. He says, therefore, know that only those who are of the faith are sons of Abraham. You know, you have to think about that. Only those who are of the faith are sons of Abraham. Verse 9. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. If I don't have the faith that Abraham had, then I'm not blessed. If I don't have the faith that Abraham had, I'm not a son of Abraham. If I don't have the faith that Abraham had, then I am not faithful in serving Christ. You see, we are to live or walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. The entirety of our lives are to be lived by faith. That's just not having a belief in God. It is believing God. It is trusting God. It is serving God. It is to be the vocation of our lives. Paul said in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 that he's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He said the reason he wasn't ashamed of it is because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, but he said also to the Greek. Then he says this in verse 17. He says, for therein, that is in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, he's going to quote Habakkuk 2 and verse 4, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And if I'm not living by the same kind of faith that is evidenced in the lives of Abraham, then I'm not living by faith. And let's talk about that faith of Abraham. Let's examine the faith of Abraham this evening. And I'm going to point out three things about the faith of Abraham, and I'm going to strive to make some applications that are going to, I hope, resonate with each and every one of us. But let's notice now the faith of Abraham, going back to verse 8. Abraham obeyed God. Now notice, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. Now, my friends, this refers us back to an incident that occurs in the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis. In Genesis chapter 12, God calls to Abram, and he tells him that this is what I want you to do. He said in verse 1 of Genesis 12, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. Now, he didn't say here, hey, I want you to go out here. I want you to go down to Alexandria, Egypt. That's a good place. He didn't say that. He didn't say, you know, here's where I want you to go. I want you to go over this place or that place. God said, I'm going to... You just get out and you start walking. You just get out from your father, leave home, leave all the security that you've had, and I want you to go out and I'll show you where I want you to go. Oh, and by the way, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. So Abraham is called by God. God calls Abraham. You know what Abraham left? He left his kin. He left his country. He left all the comforts that perhaps he had in order to become a nomadic, wandering, basically a homeless man, not knowing his destination. And just think about that. No resistance. It's not, now, wait a minute, God. Where am I going? He didn't say that. He didn't say, now, wait a minute, God, I'm not understanding what it is that you want me to do. God said it, and he left. He didn't demand an explanation. He didn't say, you know, God, I need to understand what's behind all of this. God said it, and he obeyed. That's faith, ladies and gentlemen. That's the faith that Abram had. That's the faith that Abraham, God said it. That's enough. I believe it. I don't necessarily understand it. But I believe it, ladies and gentlemen. This is what it means to walk by faith. Have you ever noticed? I know that I have. But have you ever noticed how many people refuse to believe God unless they can calculate, unless they can explain, unless they can put God in a test tube and come away understanding all that there is to know? Well, you know, it's like Brett was talking about this morning, about Jesus being fully man and fully God. I cannot possibly wrap my mind around that. But you know what? I believe that with all of my heart and soul. I don't have to understand it. I don't have to put it in a petri dish and put it under a flame or anything like that. I don't need that. God said it, that's enough for me. And you know what? Let's take something as simple as what's said in Genesis chapter 1 concerning creation. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible teaches in Genesis chapter 1 that God created this world and all that is in it in six literal 24-hour days. I cannot possibly understand how God could just speak it into existence. But you know what? I believe it. This is something that I believe. I don't have to understand it. I don't have to understand why water is essential for salvation. God said it, that's enough for me. God said, Abram, I want you to leave your father. I want you to leave your kinsmen. I want you to leave your country, and I want you to start wandering. He didn't have to understand it. A man of faith just simply obeys God. You know, when it comes to prayer, sometimes we're that way. We've got to understand how that works, don't we? You know, I've heard people say sometimes, you know, maybe an announcement is made from a pulpit like this. Well, you know, now, Brother Bob had, he had some test results, or he had some tests run the other day, and he's waiting on the results of that test. And the results of that test are going to be sent to him in the mail. Let's pray for Brother Bob. And then somebody comes and, what good's it going to do to pray for Bob if the test results are already in the mail? You know what we're trying? We're trying to figure out the providence of God, and we're trying to figure out God. You know, I don't need to go down that road. What I need to do is have the faith of Abraham. You know, it's like, I was reading about this little girl got lost. And she just kind of wandered away from home. She got over in this field that was pretty near her home. And it was a farmer found her wandering around. And so he goes up to her, you know, and he recognizes who she is, and he said, "It's okay, hon." Said, "I'll take you home." And he reaches down, he picks her up. You know what she says to him? She said, I knew you would come." He said, "You did?" She said, "Yeah, I was praying that you would come." He said, "You were praying?" And she said, "Yes." He said, "Well, when I walked up here, all I heard you say was A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P." He said, "I just heard you saying the alphabet." She said, "I know. I didn't really know what to say, but I just give the letters and I knew God would put it together." I love that. Why can't we have that childlike faith? I don't understand, God. I don't understand why you require this and why you said that. But you know what? I know you'll put together my life. And so that's all I need to know. And I believe that's the faith that Abraham walked out. And I don't need to quibble about it. You know, baptism is essential for salvation. I don't have to explain that. I just simply have to believe it. I believe that we're to sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and that is to be done without instruments of music. I don't know why God put that in there, but you know what He did, and I believe it. And I don't have to explain it. And I don't have to compromise, and I don't have to, you know, bring in something from the Old Testament, something from the book of Revelation. I'm just simply going to accept the faith of Abraham. And the faith of Abraham is it obeys without explanation. Secondly, what we learn from this text is that the faith of Abraham even continued. You know, we already talked about throughout his life. But it continued even during difficult times. By faith, verse 9, Hebrews 11, verse 9, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country. Now notice what it says, dwelling in tents. You know what, if you read in the Old Testament about Abraham's a wealthy man. Abraham, as a matter of fact, he and Lot got so wealthy at one time, they had too much to be able to live together. You know, they started to feud over watering rights and pasture lands and such things as that. So he was a wealthy man. And as a result of that, in all probability, ladies and gentlemen, he would have had enough wealth to build, might I say, a palace? Who knows? He had enough wealth to be able to put down some roots. He had enough wealth to build a nice place to live, but you know what? He was dwelling in tents because God was having him wander from here to there. And you know what? He'd pitch a tent, and he'd build an altar, and he'd worship God, and then later on he'd break tent, take off, pitch another tent, build an altar, and worship God. He kept going. He kept serving God. He kept obeying God even during difficult times. In Genesis chapter 12 and verse 10, there was a famine that forced him to go down into Egypt. And you know what? There he went. He went down into Egypt during this time of difficulty, his time of struggle. He just kept going, kept loving, kept serving, kept obeying God. And you know what? Genesis chapter 13, when he came up out of Egypt, and there was this squabble between his herdsmen and the herdsmen of Lot, his kinsmen. You know what? He just kept serving God when there was this conflict with his nephew. You ever notice what he did? I love Genesis 13. Early on, when we read about that conflict that occurred between Abraham and Lot. Remember they having this falling out? And Abraham, you know, he said, wait a minute. He said, please, verse 8, let there be no strife between you and me and between my herdmen and your herdmen, for we're brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. But if you want to go to the right, I'll go to the left. Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan. Now, here's where this gets interesting. Lot chooses the best there is to choose. He chooses the land that was well watered everywhere. It was beautiful like the Garden of Eden. And that's what he wanted. Here's water. Here's pasture lands. There on the horizon, Sodom and Gomorrah, I can use their industry, or I can use the, you know, I can sell my wool. I can use the commerce. So he chooses the best. Did that disturb Abram? No. Abram kept loving and kept serving and kept obeying the Lord. Verse 18, Abram moved his tent. And you know what he did? He went and dwelt by the tent of the trees of Mamre, which are in Hebron. And you know what he did? There he built an altar to the Lord. Abram refused to falter. He refused to fail, even when God told him to banish Ishmael. You know, Ishmael was his son. As a matter of fact, it was a time that, you know, it could have been, no, it wasn't, but it could have been that, you know, he was going to be the son of promise. But you know what? Sarah said, let's get rid of him. Let's get him out of our family here. And you know what? Genesis 21 and verse 10, she said, cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, namely with Isaac. And this matter was very displeasing to in Abraham's sight because of his son. But you know what? God told him, you do not let it be displeasing to you in your sight, because the lad of which your bond because of the lad of your bondwoman, whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice, for Isaac, in Isaac your seed shall be called. And you know what? He banished his son, but he kept going. His wife Sarah died, his beloved wife died, and he kept going. But even before that, he was offering his son upon the altar in Genesis chapter 22. He was confused, but you know what? He did what God said. God, you want me to kill my son? This is the son of promise, and you want me to kill my son? God said, take him out there. And you know what's interesting about that? I got to tell you. What is interesting about that? You know, sometimes we look at the Bible, we say, well, you know, these ancient people, they didn't understand the things we understand. They didn't have a full comprehension of what we have a full, and that may be true to an extent. And we look at these people, well, what do they know? Well, you know, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 19 points out that when Abram went out to offer his son upon the altar, that he obeyed God. Even though he knew that this was the son of promise, it was through this son that all nations would be blessed, and he was going to offer that boy up on the altar because he believed that God could raise him from the dead. And as far as the Bible is concerned, there was no evidence that anyone up to that point had ever been raised from the dead. Why did Abraham believe that? Why did he believe God had the power to do that? Because he was a man of faith. And he offered his son. Now, God stopped him. This is true. But he nevertheless was willing to obey God. He kept going, even though his days were filled with difficulty. He kept going. This is the kind of faith, my friends, that we need. We've got, you know, we're going to have some bad days. Matter of fact, we may have some bad weeks or even some bad years. But we've got to have the faith that keeps going. No matter what happens in our lives, no matter what difficulties that we face, no matter what our health situation is, what our family situation is, what our financial situation is, I've got to have the faith to keep going. Am I going to have problems? Yes, Abram had problems. Abraham had difficulties. But you know what he did? He kept believing God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Did what God said to do. Did it without wavering. He did it without question. He did it in difficult times. I tell you something, my friend. I don't know. None of us do. We can't possibly know, and I think we're probably pretty happy about this too. We can't possibly know what is in our future. We don't know what one day is going to bring in our lives. I don't know what's going to happen to my family. But there's one thing that I do know. Hebrews 13 and verse 5, God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That is a promise that I have, and that is a promise by which I am going to live my life. As a result of that, we can boldly say, verse 6 of Hebrews 13 continues, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. You know, the last time that I was here, some of you have even asked about this, my daughter was having some medical issues. My wife had called me and told me what the problems were. You prayed for her. We did. I appreciate that. Some of you have asked if she's doing well. I thank God for that. But I want to go back a number of years. And I want to tell you about the time that my daughter, when she was 25 years old, was diagnosed with uterine cancer. And I tell you what, I'm probably talking to some people now that have experienced just exactly what I'm talking about. Either you or some member of your family have suffered cancer, have taken treatments, either radiation or chemotherapy. My daughter was taking chemotherapy for uterine cancer. It was making her deathly ill, and we had no idea what the future was going to hold. We didn't know if she's going to get well or not. One time when Sue and I were down at the hospital where she was receiving her chemotherapy, I was in the room with her, and it was going through the IV. And I knew how sick she was, and I knew how sick that was going to make her. And I walked out. I walked out in the hallway of that hospital, and I cried like a 2-year-old baby. And I prayed to God. Not knowing what the will of God was. Not knowing if I was strong enough to accept the will of God. But I prayed, and I prayed, and I cried, and I cried. And after a while, I went back into the room. My face was still wet with tears, and my eyes were swollen, and my face was red. My daughter looked at me, and she said, Daddy, sit down here on the bed. And I sat down on the bedside by my daughter that was receiving the IV. She reached out with the hand that wasn't hooked up and grabbed my hand. She said, Daddy, I don't want you crying for me anymore. How does a daddy not cry for a daughter? Daddy, don't cry for me anymore. Then she said this. She said, if I get well, I'll go home. And she said, if I don't get well, I'll go home. What she's telling me is I'm living by faith. Whatever the will of God is, I will accept. And she helped me to understand what it means to live by faith. I don't know what the future is going to hold, but I know God is in control of the future. You know, sometimes I'll say to my grandchildren, they'll be over at the house, you know, and I say, well, hey, come on, go with me. And I'm heading out to the car. I said, come on, go with me. And you know what? If they say to me, Granddad, where are you going? You know what that tells me? They're more interested in where than in who. You ever think about that? Well, that's sometimes the way we are with God. God, where are you taking me today? What's going to happen to me tomorrow? It's not about where, ladies and gentlemen. It's about who we serve. I'm going to follow God no matter what. No matter what difficulties are in my life. Like we sometimes sing, anywhere with Jesus I can safely go. Anywhere He leads me in this world below. And I have to think that was the faith that Abraham had. And I think that's the faith that we need to have to shake the dust of the Ur of the Chaldees off of our feet and to launch out. The full assurance of faith. God, I will follow You wherever You take. Now let's continue on as we see our final point this evening. The faith of Abraham obeyed God without explanation. The faith of Abraham continued even during difficult times. And the faith of Abraham was leading him homeward, seeing the unseen. Look again at verse 10. For he waited. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Verse 16. But now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared for a city for them. I have no idea what the ancients, including Abraham, knew and understood about life after death. I don't know. But I do know this, that he had some sort of concept of life after death, because he was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. And that was not in Canaan. Now that's where he was, you know, that was the promised land. But he was looking for something beyond that. He was able to see the unseen. And he was not just focusing upon his immediate surroundings. He looked for a heavenly city. He looked at that. He looked for that which was beyond what the eye can see in this life. He was like the Apostle Paul. When Paul was writing in Philippians chapter 3 and relating his past life and comparing that now with the life of a Christian. He said in verse 7 of Philippians chapter 3, the things which are gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. The things of this world don't mean anything to me anymore. I've got something else. The things that used to mean a lot to me, they don't mean anything to me anymore. I've got something else. There's something beyond all of this. The things that I counted as great, you know what? They're not that great. He said in verse 13, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. Well, wouldn't it be good to be that single-minded? You know, we're probably sitting here with 1,000 things on our mind. What we need to be doing, what we're going to do when we go home tonight, what we need to do first thing in the morning, and you know, all of these other things just running through our mind. All of these trivialities that just plague us so much. Wouldn't it be great if we could just be focused on one thing? Paul said, this one thing that I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. This is the faith Abraham had. He forgot the Ur of the Chaldees. He forgot the famine. He forgot all the problems in Egypt. All the problems with Pharaoh. He forgot all the problems with Lot. And he just kept pressing on. What was he looking for? He was looking for that city whose builder and maker is God. And this is what kept him going. Let me ask you something. You know, talk about singing the song Anywhere with Jesus, I can say. Let me ask you this. I'm going to mention some titles of some songs. Do they mean anything to you? What about the song that we sometimes say, Heaven Holds All for Me? Does that mean anything to you? Heaven holds all for me. Or Looking for a City. You ever sang that, Looking for a City? Does that song mean anything to you? I'll fly away. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. I'm satisfied with just a cottage below, because I've got a mansion over the hilltop. Do those songs mean anything to you? Are they just this old, archaic song that we sing in church? We see, if they mean something to you, it's because you are single-minded, you have the faith of Abraham, and you're pressing beyond what this world has to offer you. You know, I tell people, you know, the reason sometimes that we don't have a desire to fly away and be with the Lord, you know, I'll fly away. Oh, glory, I'll fly away. I'll be with the Lord one day. You know, the reason we don't have that desire to fly away is because we've spent our time upon this earth padding our nest to the extent that we don't want to leave what we've got. I've got an A-frame in the mountains. I've got a beach house. I've got all of these other things. And you know what? I don't want to leave these things. I want to stay here. That wasn't Abraham. Abraham had faith that just caused him to press on. And he just kept going. Abraham was a pilgrim. Abraham was an exile. Abraham was just a passing through. Paul said in Philippians 3 and verse 20, I love the way that Paul puts this. He said, our citizenship is in heaven. Do you ever stop and think about what that means? My citizenship is in heaven. You know, sometimes we think that we're citizens of the earth trying to go to heaven. But you know what? Christians ought not look at it that way. Christians are citizens of heaven trying to navigate through the waters of peril upon this earth. I'm just passing through. I'm just a pilgrim. I'm just an exile upon the earth. So my friend, don't put your roots down so deep that you lose your desire to walk upon the street of gold. And don't substitute plastic and pleasure for the city foursquare, whose builder and maker is God. Let's follow the faith of Abraham. Let's live seeing the unseen. Let's live homeward bound. Did you realize that Abraham's pilgrimage probably lasted 100 years, but he never gave up. He never gave in. He just kept following God. You know, one time in the life of Jesus, some of his enemies came up to him and they said, after listening to what he had to say, they said, we're Abraham's descendants, never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will make us free? Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, we're not in bondage to anybody. We are Abraham's seed. You know what Jesus said to them? Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. So let me close by asking you this evening, are you of the seed of Abraham? Do you have the faith that Abraham had? In order to be the children of God, we've got to be willing to obey God no matter what He says, no matter how difficult the times may be. We've got to live pressing on to the goal that is before us, seeing that which is unseen by the eye of faith. I may be speaking to someone this evening who has never become a Christian. My friend, you don't know what it is that you're missing in your life. If you've never tasted the sweet gift of God, salvation through the sacrifice of His Son, now is the time for you to have the courage to get up out of your seat and make your way to the front of this building, believing with all of your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repenting of your sins, turning from them, leaving, abandoning those sins. Cannot be saved in your sins, you're saved from your sins. Confess your faith in Him, be baptized tonight in water for the remission of your sins, where you contact the saving blood of Christ. And then you're raised out of that water to walk in newness of life. Then, my friend, and only then, you will be home. If you're subject to the invitation, we urge you right now to come. Walk together. We stand for what we sing.